This body.
How many is glad to be in his house? I know it's cold in here tonight, but we're going to have church anyway. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn your attention. Well, first off, I want to thank Pastor John for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly to be able to speak to this church. I feel like God has given me something for tonight. I kind of struggled with it at first, but I was talking to my dad this morning and he said something and it just clicked. And I believe I have something for you tonight, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to start out in verse 26. And then we're going to work back through the chapter. And the Bible says, "And Joab fought against Rabbah, the children of Ammon, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, 'I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the cities of water. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name.' So David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown off his head and weighed thereof a talent of gold with precious stones. And it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them pass through the bricklin. And thus he did unto the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem." Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about taking care of Ammon. Taking care of Ammon. Let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you for another opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for just another chance to come and entertain your presence. Lord, just anoint me, God, that I can deliver a word that you've given me for these people tonight. Soften our hearts, oh God, that we can hear and we can accept it, Jesus. Help us to leave not the same way that we came in, but with something different about us. God, I thank you. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. You may be seated. So we look at 2 Samuel, and earlier in the chapter, we all are very familiar with the story of David's great sin. We understand that David looks out of his window and he sees a woman, and her name was Bathsheba. And David desired to have Bathsheba, so he sent a servant to have Bathsheba come. So she did. And David laid with her and she bare a child. But there was one problem with this. David's right-hand man, Uriah, was already the husband of this woman. So now David is in a predicament because Uriah's wife is pregnant and Uriah hasn't even been home to be with his wife. So David comes up with this plan. He says, "I'm going to bring Uriah in for a little while, and I'm going to take him out of battle, and I'm going to put him with his wife. So maybe we can cover up this mess." So that's what David does. Uriah comes, and David comes in, and he kind of sweet talks him, and he says, "Uriah, you know, you're a really good man, and you need some time to go and spend with your wife." But Uriah doesn't do that. Uriah, being so devoted to David, he lays outside of David's door. And he doesn't go and be with his wife. So David now is in panic mode. Eventually, Uriah is going to figure out that my wife's pregnant. I've not even been with her. So David goes to plan B. And he puts Uriah in the most dangerous part of the battle, right on the front lines. And he has Uriah killed. So Uriah dies, and now his wife is free. So David takes Bathsheba and marries her and makes her his wife. So then now we're going to fast forward, and we're right here in 2 Samuel. And this is what happened next. In verse 1, it reads like this: "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his meat, of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come up unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." And the Bible says that David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And then Nathan gives David a reality check. And Nathan said, "David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and the master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee of the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been not been too little, I would have moreover had given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord hath put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die." So we see David's attempt to cover it up, and this is a little while after Bathsheba had already had the child. And the prophet comes to David, and he gives him a parable, and he explains, and David doesn't even realize that the prophet's talking about him. So Nathan reveals it. "David, you're the man that killed Uriah to cover up your own sin. And now the Lord's anger is kindled against you." But what's interesting is David's response to Nathan. Because the Bible says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said, Just think, this is the God that we serve. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. See, David could have fought against Nathan. He could have called him a liar. If he wanted to, he could have had him put to death. But he didn't do that. He stepped up and he recognized that he sinned. He said, I sinned. Now let's fix this. See, it doesn't matter how many times that you fall. It doesn't matter as much if you fall, but if you get back up, if you respond to a situation that you're dealt in the right manner, God is still going to have favor on you. He's going to put away your sin, but you have to step up and realize that you've sinned before God. We have to understand that we need His help, and we can't do this on our own. And if we try and do this on our own, we're going to fail every single time. Oh, but when the man of God comes and he points out your sin, don't get upset at the man of God. Just stand up and say, I sinned before you. So David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. I skipped a verse. Hold on. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Bible says that the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and he was very sick. Understand that God forgave his sins, but there's still consequences that David has to live with. You don't get to just come in and sin and God forgives you. He does forgive you. But there's still consequences that goes along with it. So the child's sick. And David, he does what he thinks he should do. So he prays and he fasts. And the Bible says that he lays on the ground. He won't eat. He won't do anything because the child's sick. His son is sick. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? And when David saw the servants whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David asked, he said, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. And the Bible says that David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And when he came to his own house and when he required, they sat before him bread and he did eat. So we see another choice that David has in which way he wants to respond. David's consequences do in fact come to pass, and his son does die. And David could have moped around and he could have blamed God and he could have been upset with God and he could have done all kinds of things if he wanted to. But the Bible says that David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself. So David picks himself up out of the ash. He picks himself up out of this mess and he changed his apparel and went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Just dealt with the loss of his son. But he doesn't blame God or he's not upset with God. He goes into the house of the Lord and he just begins to worship him. We can really pay attention to David's response right here. David makes a decision. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to serve the one true living God. It doesn't matter that my son's not with me anymore. I'm still going to come into your house and I'm still going to worship you. Every day we have situations that we have to deal with and we have an opportunity to respond in a good way or a bad way. We can respond in anger, we can respond in an attitude, or we can respond humbly. Every day on the job site, that customer says something to you and you just want to let him have it. But you bite your tongue and you be nice anyway. Sometimes our family gets under our skin. We want to strike out at them. But it's our response is what really makes the difference. See, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. And I want to tell you that David didn't lose that badge of honor when he fell. His response showed that he is a man after God's own heart. Where everybody else probably would have struck out, David responds. And he responds in the right manner. So then verse 21, it says, "Then the servant said unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou hast fasted and wept for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. And he went unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. The name Jedidiah means beloved of God. So we see David, even though he fell, committed a great sin, had a man killed, slept with his wife, all these things. We can see David's response is different from what happened just a few chapters before. We can see that David picks himself up. And he responds in a way that pleases the Lord. So God, even though that he had taken David's son, he gives David a new son. And his name's Solomon. And the Bible says that the Lord loved him. And even Nathan the prophet says that Jedidiah or Solomon is the Lord's beloved son. So now we take a look at the last portion of this scripture. And understand that when Uriah died in battle, he was fighting the children of Ammon. That's the people that killed him. So David chooses to respond in another way. And the Bible says that David puts his people together and they go and they take care of Ammon completely. He wipes Ammon out, the children of Ammon out. He takes care of that sin that just keeps creeping up on it. We can see that from outsiders looking in that the children of Ammon is just a reminder that David had fallen. And we see David stand up and we see him respond several times in the right way. And David stands up and he puts his men together and they go back out and they take care of Ammon. They take care of the sin that David had fallen prey to. Come on, I wish somebody would hear me today. It doesn't matter that you've fallen. You can get back up right now. And you can start responding in the way that pleases the Lord. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter whose feelings you've hurt. It doesn't matter how bad you think your sin is. But you can pick yourself up tonight and you can start responding in the way that God wants you to respond. And He can bless you all over again. David could have chose to be hateful towards the prophet, but he didn't do that. David could have blamed God when God took his son, but he didn't do that. David stood up and he said, "I sinned. Now I'm going to go in and I'm going to worship the Lord." I wish somebody would get that down in their soul tonight. It doesn't matter if you fall. It's if you get back up. Bible, psalmist says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, I will arise." doesn't matter what you've fallen prey to here recently. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're defeated. You're not defeated. If you just stand up and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to put my hand in your hand. I'm going to walk with you. I don't know what I'm doing. I've messed it up already, but I know that if I just hand it to you, that you're going to take care of it. And understand, don't let that sin live in your life. When you get up, and you can get up, get up. When you get up, take care of the rest of that sin. Go back and finish what God had started in your life. Get rid of Ammon out of your life. Get rid of the sin out of your life. When you get back up, it hasn't won. It hasn't won when he's on your side. Who can stand against you? Ammon didn't have the power to stand against the kingdom of Israel because David gets up and he puts his trust and his faith back in the Lord. And they go and they take care of Ammon. Stand with me all over this place. There's too many people. There's lots of people that I've seen that they get knocked down and they can't figure out how to get back up. They think they have to make the right decisions. And they don't realize it's not about them. They can't make the right decision if they tried their hardest. Every single time they're going to make the wrong decision, but if we put our faith and our trust in the Lord, he's going to lead and guide us and take care of our situation. I could try it 1,000 times my own, but I'm going to fail every single time. It's not about us. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. Don't feel like your walk is over because you've fallen. Your walk's not over. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Your walk's not over. It doesn't matter how high of a position you had in the church when you fell. It doesn't matter how miserably you think that you failed. Because the Lord's put away your sins. If you just go to him and you just leave him at the altar, he's going to put them away, and now it's up to you to just respond. You can't go anywhere if you're not moving. Just keep walking. Just respond. When you get to a place that you don't know where to go, just take another step. Take another step. He's going to guide you. You may not understand where you're going just yet. God, but I want to go over here. Just take another step. It'll make sense right now, but it's not for you to make sense of it. He's going to take you to a place that's higher. He's going to take you to a place that's better. We got to really walk by faith. What a merciful God. Doing something as dirty and rotten as taking a man's wife and having him killed, that's terrible. But the Lord, he doesn't even take that badge of honor back of David being a man after God's own heart. He says, hey, David, he says, you've messed up. He said, there's going to be some consequences. He said, but I'm going to forgive you. So David, he fasts. And when the child died, I'm sure David believed that when he fasted and prayed that the child was going to live. That God was going to have mercy and let the child live. So when the child died, I'm sure it was like a punch in the gut to David because he can't understand. But God, you forgave me. There's still consequences. But David just keeps taking a step forward. Taking a step forward. And I don't understand why you took my son, but I'm going to take another step. He's gone now, but I'm going to take another step. And he walks right in and he just pours himself out before God. And we see such a powerful response from David. We see that David fully puts his trust in God. So God honors it. And he blesses him with another son. David's response determined how the story was wrote. Just like your response determines where you're going to go, how your story is written. You can be upset at people. You can say they hurt me. You can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. Your response is what determines where you're going to go. You can let people that upset you or done you wrong, and we're not saying that they didn't do you wrong, but you have to respond. You have to move on. Don't let them rob you from your blessing. You're not getting back at them. Church, the altars are open. God is going to honor a righteous response. He's not going to honor a pity party. He's not going to honor a bad attitude. He's not going to honor anything other than a righteous response. If David would have just sat there in his chamber, David could have pouted about his son dying until the cows come home. David could have finished up, and David's story could have been written just that David sulked and wept and cried over his son all the way until David's life ended. And that could have been the finishing story of David, but that's not what happened. David's faith in the Lord, he says, I know you've taken what I've loved so much, but I'm going to come into your house anyway, and I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm going to come into this place, and I'm just going to trust you. I'm so confused, and I'm so disoriented, and I can't even think straight, but I'm going to come in here, and I'm just going to lift you up just one more time. And David takes another step of faith. And David's whole story is changed. The trajectory changes completely from what David is expected to happen. Church, the same thing can happen for you. Your response is going to determine where you go next. You can be upset all you want to. It does not change your situation. Or you can put your faith in God and you can just come to this altar right now and you can say, God, I you know my situation. You know what I've been through. You know what I'm struggling with. And I'm just going to put it in your hands because I don't know what else to do with it. And he can change the trajectory of your life. Right now, don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait until you feel like, oh, well, I'll just put it off a little bit longer. We'll just give it a little more time. Don't wait for that. We're not promised tomorrow. You just heard a story about Allie's cousin that passed away at 36 years old. Unexpectedly. One moment he's there, next moment he's gone. Church, we don't have time to fool around anymore. If we look at our world is messed up. Why are we waiting for God to come and move in our... Why don't we just take a step of faith and just raise our hands? Let's not wait for God to move in our life. Let's just keep doing what God's asked us to do. Let's just keep showing up. Let's just keep worshiping Him. Church, if you put your faith in Him right now, tonight, the trajectory of your life can be changed forever. Your whole story can take a whole different turn. But if you can sit in your seat and you don't come up here and you know that God is working on your heart, you're going to leave exactly the same way that you came in.